I'll take you home again, Kathleen, across the ocean wild and wide, to where your heart has ever been since first you were my Bonnie Bride. The roses all have left your cheek. I've watched them fade away, and I, your voice is sad when you speak, and tears bedim your loving eyes. Oh, we'll take you back, Kathleen, to where your heart will feel no pain. And when the fields are fresh and green,
Slim McMahon, it's a great pleasure to finally meet up with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
And this is the farewell tour. Is it really the farewell tour?
So many artists do farewell, farewell, farewell. I don't know where to get people in or what, but this, we talked about this for a long time. Even in 96, the last time we were over, we talked about farewell. And I looked at the age and looked at the voice, and I said, no, I don't think so. But this time I looked at it and talked with Mervyn Kahn, and and I said, I think we'll call it the last farewell instead of the farewell, farewell, you know. But, yeah, we mean this because we've been over here so long. Been coming about 46 years, you know. And I can still do my job. I mean, when I walk out, I don't just collect money for doing nothing, you know. I do what comes natural, and that's what the people want. In fact, the song I opened with, which is the first record I ever did in 1949, and Casting My Lasso Toward the Sky, which became my theme song. And the wife was talking to me. She said, okay, what are you going to open with? I said, Casting My Lasso Toward the Sky. She said, you'll never do it. I said, we'll see. And so that it's working. And I'm doing it in the same key I did it in 1949.
Wow. That's incredible.
In the key of E. In fact, even the band boys, you know, they said, well, you might do it tonight, but how about tomorrow night? It's been 18 days now. And we still do it in the key of E, and we're still kind of shaking the rafters, I call it. You know? But you get up and show the people that, okay, I'm a little older, but the songs are still here and stuff like that. And then we go into something like China Doll or whatever. But the opening, I think, was very important, especially for this tour, to show that the yodel is still there.
But how difficult is it to actually say goodbye to the crowds who have loved you?
Pretty bad, and they don't like to hear it. And the way I end, you know, which is probably not a good way, I keep Rosemary, because that's the reason I'm here. After about an hour and 15 minutes, you know, I said, this song started it, this song will finish it, will end, you know. And that's true. I mean, that's true. Rosemary is on the end. Rosemary is the reason I came over. And so it almost has to be that way. No matter what you've done, I wouldn't have done any of it if it hadn't been for Rosemary.
Britain has been terrific for you, hasn't it?
Oh, great, yeah.
In a way, you've almost been more successful in Great Britain than you have in America.
Yeah, I've done more here. I've been here more times than any other place. Indian Love Call was a start. That was a start of the career. Well, I won't say that. It was A Love Song on the Waterfall was a start. That was the first top 10 record. But the next one was the first million record, which was Indian Love Call. And But then came Rosemary. Okay, that was a big record in the United States, but it was the one that was bigger here. It was bigger than the United States because it set the record that held, that somebody told me 35 years, and I couldn't believe it, you know. And along came my good friend Brian Adams, and he broke the record, and he called me to come over and sing with him, which was good, you know. In fact, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed walking on the stage. He was the new champ, the old champ just coming in helping, you know. And it was fun.
That's a lovely story, isn't it? Because, I mean, Slim McMahon, Brian Adams, you would think worlds apart. And yet, through this this record-breaking business, because let's go over the facts. It was 1955, 11 weeks straight at number one. Now, we all know that Frankie Lane did 18 weeks, but in two parts.
He went down and back in.
That's right. But for straight 11 weeks was fantastic. Yeah. And everyone thought, well, it's going to last forever because of the way marketing is and the way charts are. But it was 37 years, and then Brian Adams came along and did 18 weeks or whatever it was with Everything I Do.
I knew what was happening. I knew the record was getting close. But I said, well, that's life. Records are made to be broken, you know. And so I heard exactly the hour when it happened, you know. And one day the phone rang. His manager, he says, I have Brian Adams with me here. And so I talked to Brian Adams. And he said he's got that show on at Wembley, I think it was. And he said, I'd like for you to come over and walk on stage and we'll sing Rosemary, you know, it's like that. I said, okay. I said, give me a couple of days. I got to check out some things, you know. So they fixed up everything. They pulled a big limousine up in the yard, you know, and we had fun.
Oh, Rosemary. Oh, Rosemary, I love you. I'm always dreaming of you. No matter what I do, I can't forget you. Sometimes I wish that I never met you. And yet if I should lose you, 'twould mean my very life to me. Of all the queens that ever lived, I'd choose you to rule me, my Rosemary.
You're 78 years young now, still got a tremendous voice. But let's go back to Florida, 1924. That's when you were born. Was it a happy childhood for you?
Oh, yeah. It was happy. I hated school. I finished, but I hated it. Yeah. School interfered with my fishing. Anything interfered with my fishing, I said, I'm going to get rid of it. In fact, even the wife and I, I met her when she was 13 years old. We got married, she was 16. See, we've been married 61 years.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of a joke, you know. In fact, she knew that I love fishing. Anything interferes is going to be rough. And we got married, went to a preacher, just got married. And I said, what are we going to do now? She said, I guess we'll go fishing. Because if it interfered with my fishing, you know. So.
Now, I've spoken to a few people who are on the tour with you. And what is lovely is that they keep coming up to me and saying, you know, that Slim and his wife, they are so together and so in love after 61 years.
Yeah.
What's the secret, Slim? We all try to
find it. Well, the secret is it's a 50-50. I mean, you can't go 51, that sort of thing, and you have to respect your wife. But the secret is, of our marriage anyway, was I joined the Navy. We were married in 1941, and in 42, I joined the Navy, and we had a daughter then, and and so the whole time in the Navy, which money was sent to her, okay, she saved the money and bought the first house, see? And you have to appreciate that, you know, and that she was saving money and thinking for our future when I was over out there fighting in Okinawa, stuff like that. And then you look at that I had the chance to go on radio, and I didn't do any talking. I was a guy that I had a lot to sing about, nothing to talk about, you know. So the wife was my announcer. See, she was my radio announcer. She made the scripts, and so later on, she said, "Okay, it's time you did it." See, somebody wants to hear you talk, you know. And the way I started talking, I had a script. When I first started, I had a script. And one night I left the script in the dressing room, and I had to say something. So that's the way it started, really. I said, there's nothing to this. Go out and be friendly. And that's all there is to it, you know. Say hello, how are you, and get on with it. And so all of that, but she's always been the woman behind the man. I never make a decision without talking to her. She never makes one without talking to me. And so it's a 50-50 thing all the way. And we have grandkids, two, a granddaughter, grandson, and a great-granddaughter. And so we're proud of all of that, you know. And
so it's a very close-knit family overall.
Very, very close. My son and I are very close. And so we look forward to going back on the same plane, you might say, and what we're going to do next. I mean, it's always we, not I, you know. And so that I think that's the secret. But we will always be together. I mean, that's what it is. In fact, I've got a new song that I sang on this tour, which I think is one of the greatest. It's called I Will Love You Still, to the end of time, you know. And that's what we plan to do, you know. We'll be holding hands when the bomb falls or whatever.
Drifting along with a tumbling tumbleweed, I'm a roving cowboy, riding all day long. Tumbleweeds around me, I'm a lonely song. Nights underneath the southern moon, I ride along and hum this tune. See them tumbling down, pledging their love to the ground. Lonely but free I'll be found, drifting along with a tumbling tumbleweed.
And when Hoot Rain did that lovely steel guitar work, I mean, that was a unique style, wasn't it? How did the style?
It was a mistake. We did. We were doing something on stage before the waterfall. It was, and he overshot it. He went above where he thought. He apologized. I said, "Don't apologize. I think we got something, you know." And we called it the error, shooting errors, you know. And it was a mistake, which turned into, I mean, really something. And so we put it in Waterfall. It helped make Waterfall. Put it in Indian Love Call. It helped make Indian Love Call. But those two records, especially Indian Love Call, established the name, really.
When I'm calling you, will you answer to? Means I offer my love to you, to be your own. If you refuse me, I will be blue and waiting all along. But if when you hear my love call, thank you.
there's an incredible story, isn't there, about the Navy, how you were kept on one particular ship when you were supposed to be posted to another. Can you tell us about that? Because it's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, I heard they were going to transfer me to another ship, which I didn't want to go. I think the singing might have held me there. We had a little band together. And the captain, his name was Geisenhoff. I remember that. I didn't hear this until later, that I was going to be transferred. And he stopped it. He said, no, he's not going. And the ship later, I heard, had been sunk.
And everyone died on board.
Yes, what yeah. I heard, yeah. And so the captain, actually, he no doubt saved my life. You know.
Now, after your school days, you went to work in a factory, and you had an accident involving your hand and lost your middle finger on your left hand.
Yeah.
Which, of course, immediately people would think, well, that's it. It's the end of your guitar playing. But you obviously thought differently.
Yeah, you just turn it around. Turn around left hand.
Well, you make it sound very simple, but I'm sure it was quite difficult.
Yeah, I had a book. Even in the Navy, the first guitar that I picked up an old guitar, strung it up backwards, and started just said, well, just turn it like this, you know. And the guitar playing would have been no better if it had been the other way.
Of course, one of the most famous left-handed guitarists is Paul McCartney. Oh, and I believe Paul was actually influenced by what you did.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Have you ever met Paul?
Never met him. I never met any of them.
None of the Beatles?
None of the Beatles.
But, of course, Elvis.
Elvis, yeah. Elvis and I were good friends. I met him in Memphis when he came up just to be on my show, really. I mean, he was different. I noticed something. I mean, nobody knew him, but they knew him after he got off stage. They didn't really know his name, but they knew he was doing something that was right to them, you know. We toured quite a bit together. And it's like he always wore his stage clothes from Jacksonville to Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. And I came off stage. He said, give me your coat. I said, this coat is too big for you, you know, that sort of thing. He said, well, give it to him anyway. And he got a big hand. He said, how'd I do? I said, you did good, but he thought it was me came back. So we were real good friends. And I cried, really, and my son cried when Elvis died, you know. In fact, we were in Nashville when he died. We heard news of that. It's one of those things, you know. He was a young guy.
Did it upset you, the fact that he went the way he did? You know, obviously overweight and...
Yeah, but that's Hollywood. That's... Mm. Stuff, you know, these guys will say it'll be a lot easier if you do this. Everybody knows what that sort of thing does. Once you start, it's hard to quit. I mean, this guy was religious and he got into that, you know, and it's really sad that some guys do that. I mean, I never did, and so I don't have to worry about it. But if I had, I would have gone the same way.
I'm tired of crying.
Yeah. 1955 really was your big year.
Oh, yeah.
But 19 years later, in Great Britain in 1974, all of a sudden you were back in the charts again with Happy Anniversary. Yeah. How did that all come about?
The guy that takes them around the radio stations, and they had not told him anything about that song. They just said, we'll take some records out there. And but he listened before he went out. He listened, and all of a sudden he heard Happy Anniversary. He took it back to the record company and said, this is a hit. And they didn't agree at first. But he was right. They put it on the air, and it happened because everybody has anniversaries. I mean, every year they have an anniversary. So that song would never die, really. And so it was an accident. He just played it. If he hadn't played it, it probably wouldn't have happened.
Darling, happy anniversary. Thank you for each day you give to me, my darling, happy anniversary. It's not getting older, just much better. You bring me so much happiness each day. Everything you are keeps me so in love. I thank the heavens that you came my way. Darling, happy anniversary. Another year of love has gone by. Thank you for each day you give to me, my darling, happy anniversary. Let us stop and count our many blessings, 'cause love like ours don't happen every day. And year after year we'll keep remembering our anniversary in our special way. Darling, happy anniversary. For each day you give to me, my darling, happy anniversary. My darling, happy anniversary.
Well, Slim, in many years' time, when people look back and they get out their books and they see the word Slim Rickman, how would you like them to remember you?
Remember me as a guy that had fun, and as the song says, I did it my way. And I always remember I would not have been anything without people that come to the shows. If they hadn't bought the records, I would still be home fishing and nothing else. I like what I've done, but the people actually made me like what I've done and what I'm still doing. It's been good. The people are the cause, the reason it's been good.
Slim, you've given millions of people so much pleasure over the years, and I'm sure you will keep on going. I've a funny feeling you'll be back on stage.
It's hard to quit, you know. I mean, you pick up the guitar, so I can still do this. But, you know, an 80-year-old guy, sometimes he says he can do it when he can't do it, because he's thinking a little bit odd, you know. But at the moment, I'm not 80, and I can do it. See, so I just don't want to press my luck. I will never sit on a stool on stage. And even the promoter says, bring a stool. I said, I don't sit on a stool. If I can't walk out and do it, I don't go. I will walk on stage tonight in the white suit.
That's brilliant. Yeah. So, and thanks very much indeed.
Oh, I've enjoyed it. Really good.
Oh, Rosemary. Oh, Rosemary, I love you. I'm always dreaming of you. No matter what I wish that I had never met you. And yet if I should lose you, 'twould mean my very life. To rule me, my Rosemary. Da 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 da. Of all the queens that ever lived, I choose you to rule me, my Rosemary. Of all the queens that ever lived, I choose you, yes, I choose you to rule me, my Rosemary.